Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. On this week's show, we are going to talk fashionable investments and marriages not made in heaven when we play this week's game. We're also going to talk to Alex Gibney, the director of the critically acclaimed film Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, which is now out on DVD. But we kick things off this week by talking, what else? Gas prices. The price of a gallon of unleaded gas has crossed the $3 mark in some parts of our country, and it got us wondering what is going on with gas prices. And because we are investors, it also got us thinking about whether there were companies, potential investments, that might benefit from higher prices at the pump. Here to provide some perspective on higher gas prices and on some of the week's other news is Fool Radio economics contributor Charlie Whelan. Charlie, thanks for joining us again on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you for having me.
Charlie, the national average for a gallon of regular unleaded is right now in the neighborhood of $2.50. And in some parts of the country, as I mentioned, gas is now over $3 a gallon. Why are gas prices so high?
Well, we've got a couple things going on both the supply and the demand side. So if you start first with supply, it's not that the world is running out of oil, although that's going to happen somewhere down the road. It's that we can't get it out of the ground and to the pump and into your car fast enough. So there are various bottlenecks in that chain, beginning with pumping enough to sustain the growing demand, but also bottlenecks in refining capacity, which in this country hasn't grown significantly in the last 20 years. All our refineries are at capacity or very close. So we can't get the gas to where it's needed most. But then we go to the other side, which is a lot is needed at present in this country and particularly abroad. So you're seeing a lot of new energy demand in general from China and India, and also an unsatiated demand in the United States. We, for all the talk about higher prices, really have not dramatically scaled back our demand for energy. So you've got lots of demand, some bottlenecks in the supply, and that means only one thing, which is that prices are going to be forced up, both for oil and then for gas.
And is this a new problem, Charlie? I mean, hasn't getting gas from point A to point B already been addressed?
We've seen bottlenecks in the past. We've obviously seen Arab oil embargoes. It's a little different in that some of the points in the past where we've seen historically high gas prices have been caused by embargoes or deliberate attempts to curtail the supply. Certainly that was the case of the oil embargo in 1974. This is nearly unique in that we're seeing more robust and growing demand facing kind of the same old supply constraints. So it's a little different than what we've seen in the past. We're also seeing at a time where we're still having relatively healthy GDP growth, actually quite robust growth in the United States. And in the past, we saw curtailment of the supply and then fairly dramatic impacts on the economy. We've not seen anything quite like that. We should talk about what's likely to happen down the road. But for now, we're still seeing fairly healthy economic conditions.
What is likely to happen down the road?
Well, I think it depends how long and sustained this rise in energy prices is. We're going to, I hope, talk about some of the winners and losers from higher prices. But one of the somewhat counterintuitive things is that one of the losers in the long run, from sustained very high prices, could be the oil producers themselves. And obviously, that doesn't make any sense in the short run because they're making just tremendous amounts of money. If you're Saudi Arabia, you're seeing revenues far in excess of what you saw when gas or when oil was at $10 a barrel. But if you see sustained high prices, there's a point at which businesses and consumers begin to lock in changes in behavior that are somewhat either irreversible or expensive to reverse. So somebody sells the SUV once and for all, buys a hybrid. That's a 4, 5, 6, or 10-year decision. A company gets rid of one manufacturing process, adopts something that's more fuel efficient. That's locked in forever. Or the political climate changes and we move more towards nuclear energy, more dependent on coal. And so it's not coincidence that OPEC, which does control prices through this cartel, has not forced up the price of oil historically as high as it can, because if it gets too high, it could end up costing the money in the long run as we change behavior. So it's just a question of how high and how long this trend goes on.
Higher gas prices have a so-called ripple effect throughout our economy. For example, Walmart this week, as you may have heard, said that higher gas prices have hurt consumer spending, which will hurt Walmart. Which companies get hurt the most? Let's talk about the losers first with higher gas prices.
Well, you pointed out Walmart, and Walmart gets hurt in two ways. The first is that some of their costs go up as they try and move goods around the country, their shipping costs, the out-of-pocket costs for fuel themselves. But then they get hurt in a more indirect way, which is that when you and I or anybody else starts to pay more for gasoline, our income doesn't go up. It just means we've got less disposable income to spend anywhere else. And so it means when we walk into Walmart, we've got less money to buy Walmart's goods. So they get hit kind of on two sides. It's the same with companies like the airlines, where they also get hit because they've got fuel as a major expense per mile of flying people, but also it means we're likely to perhaps curtail our vacations if we're feeling a little pinched in the pocketbook. So anybody that's an intensive fuel user obviously is going to be hurt. Now, we should point out that some companies manage that risk better than others. And if I were an investor, one of the things I want to look at is which of these companies are using the most sophisticated tools for hedging their fuel risks and things of that nature. I don't know who the winners are in that regard. So it's when you look at fuel-intensive industries, it's not necessarily the case that they're all being hurt in the same way. So anybody who's an intensive fuel user, but also any company that's catering to consumers who may be feeling the pinch at the pump and have less spending power as a result.
Here's a fun one. I say it's fun because I find it to be somewhat of an intellectual conundrum. FedEx. I am a shareholder of this company. FedEx has really benefited from e-commerce, dramatically so. At a time when so-called bricks and mortar was being hurt so badly by the internet, more and more people buying stuff online actually meant more business for a company like FedEx. You'd also think that higher gas means even more use of the internet, right? Teleconferencing and other things don't make me go and drive out and buy stuff. I'm trying to figure out, is FedEx helped or hurt by higher gas prices?
That's a good question. I can't answer the specific FedEx question, but the point you raise is really interesting. I'm also a FedEx shareholder, in part because I think it's a wise internet play. At the same time everybody was buying internet stocks, if you step back and said, all right, some of these companies may survive, some may not, but the ones that survive are going to be shipping stuff. That's a nice way, I think, to think about investments. But historically, things that we thought might replace other goods have not always worked out that way. One of the really interesting examples is the relationship between the telephone and air travel. Everybody assumed that they were substitutes, that if you could just pick up the phone and call somebody, then you wouldn't need to fly and see them. So you would assume, therefore, that the telephone was bad for air travel. Well, what we observed actually is the opposite, that air travel explodes, particularly business travel, as telecommunications become more sophisticated. Well, why might that be? Well, what happens is the telecommunications allow the scope of your business to grow so dramatically that even though in some cases it may replace travel, you're doing more business with more places that are far away, and on net, the demand for travel goes up. So I don't know exactly how the FedEx situation plays out, but I would be careful about making some oversimplified assumptions about how these trade-offs may happen.
Mm. Now let's turn to the potential winners. As investors, we are looking to make good use of our cash, and a lot of our cash is being spent on gas that we didn't think it would be before. And I'm wondering, where might we start to invest and see some gains thanks to these higher gas prices?
Well, I think you look for anybody who reaps a benefit from energy efficiency. So, you know, if you've ever shopped for an appliance, you go into the appliance store and they've got those stickers on the refrigerator that tell you basically how much it costs to operate per minute or per hour this unit. And the ones that are more energy efficient are often more expensive in the short run. You pay, you know, $300 more, but then it costs less to operate. Well, the more it costs to operate those things, the more sense it makes to pay a little bit more when you walk into that showroom. So if you hold the technology, you sell the technology or anything like that that allows firms to reap energy savings, then it's going to be good for you. For example, I think last time we talked about gas prices, it was a year ago. We had no idea the trend was going to be going this long. I talked about Boeing, which is also a company that I own some stock mm-hmm. in. And their big advantage for the 787, the new plane, is that it's more fuel efficient. Now, they put that on the drawing board before they had any idea, presumably, what was going to happen to the price of oil. But I would say that's bullish for that particular plane, given they've predicated the advancement on making it more fuel efficient. The second thing I would look for is any kind of energy that becomes more competitive as the price of oil goes up. And that includes oil that is reaped from places that are more expensive. So if you've got to drill deep in the ocean and it costs you $25 to get a barrel of oil out of the ground compared to, say, $3 in Saudi Arabia, where it just kind of shoots out, Well, that doesn't make any sense when oil's selling for $15. When it goes over $60 a barrel, people are going to be drilling in the ocean. So look for places like that, sifting oil out of sand, some of the other technologies, and look for substitutes. This would be a very good time to be in coal or to be in nuclear energy and other things that become relatively more attractive just because oil's more expensive. So look for those kinds of substitutes.
Okay, final question for you, Charlie. This week when we talked with you about gas prices a year ago, we asked you for an example of a product that may be affected by higher gas prices, but that we may not associate with gas. Now, you mentioned petroleum-based carpeting. My question to you, Charlie Whelan, is do you own petroleum-based carpeting?
I do. It's installed in my basement, and the wonder of petroleum-based carpeting as opposed to something like wool is that it's resistant to just about anything nature can throw at it, all for, about $1.99 a square yard. So I indeed own petroleum-based carpeting. I bought it despite the salesman's admonition that the price might go up as oil prices rose. I was starting from such a low base price that even if there were some shift in that price, I could still afford to carpet the basement.
Charlie Whelan is the author of Naked Economics, Undressing the Dismal Science. Charlie, thanks for joining us again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm the gas station man. Won't you drive into my shop? Yeah.